Thank you very much, Danielle. It's a pleasure to be here today. My one disclosure is I am a full-time employee of the Alzheimer's Association, as you heard Danielle talk about. So we get that out of the way. So before we talk about what's happened in the past year, I wanted to give you some background on the roadmap so that you understand the context and what exactly the document is. So this is a copy of the original roadmap, which was developed by the Centers for Disease Control Healthy Aging Program and the Alzheimer's Association in 2007. It was the first time that Alzheimer's and dementia and cognitive health and cognitive functioning were comprehensively put into a public health context that had never really been done before. This document was rather groundbreaking. It was also very long-term and visionary. But it was necessary because it was important to start laying the groundwork and seeding the notion of cognitive health and Alzheimer's disease as public health issues, not just as aging issues. But what it lacked were some concrete actions that could be taken by state and local public health officials. That was intentional. This was not what it was designed to do back in 2007. And so when an updated version of the roadmap was created and released in 2013, last summer, or summer before last, this one decided to focus specifically on actions that state and local public health officials, by themselves or in partnership with others, could undertake over the next 5 years to address these issues. In developing the roadmap, it was very, very important for, on the part of the leadership committee. They really, really believed, given the history of this issue as largely seen in an aging department silo, not in a public health context, it was really important for the leadership committee to put this issue in a public health context and to really apply the public health core functions to cognitive health and Alzheimer's disease, the three core functions of assessment, policy development, and assurance. And then in developing and in identifying the 35 specific action items that were included in the roadmap, all of those action items are aligned with essential services of public health, from monitor and evaluate, to educate and empower, to develop policy and mobilize partnerships, and to assure a competent workforce. And so all 35 of those action items fell within or were aligned with essential services of public health, which were in turn then associated with the three core functions of public health. And it was really, really important to do this again because not only was this issue seen in the broader community as more of an aging issue than a public health issue, it was seen, to be quite honest and self-critical, it was seen that way by the Alzheimer's Association. For two-thirds of the association's history, we did not see it as a public health issue. And so it was really important for us to learn to work within the public health world and the public health realm and within public health contexts if we were going to engage the public health community in this issue. So that was the roadmap, and it was released in July of 2013. And for the first year, we decided to pursue this particular strategy, which my staff is plenty sick of me saying. I call it the Let 1,000 Flowers Bloom. Now, I guarantee you that there are not going to be 1,000 flowers popping up on that screen. But my bosses are very glad at that slide because I did use properly branded purple flowers. But basically the concept was we wanted a broad focus on the roadmap action items, but within a narrow scope of states. So rather than try to work with all of our chapters and all 50 state public health officials, counting the District of Columbia, rather than work with them on picking out a couple of roadmap action items and walking in and saying, do these across the board in all the states, we decided rather to focus on a smaller number of states and throw all the spaghetti against the wall, all 35 action items, and see what stuck, see what worked, what public health officials were interested in doing, and see how they were interested in implementing the various action items in the roadmap. There were several efforts along this Let a Thousand Flowers Bloom concept front. I will not talk about, but I do want to mention the National Association of Chronic Disease Directors. That organization provided grants to five states and Puerto Rico to implement specific action items in the roadmap, and I do consider that part of the Thousand Flowers Bloom effort. We at the Alzheimer's Association are not involved broadly in those efforts, although in half of those states our chapters are actually a community member of the action. And all six of those projects are still ongoing at this point. So what I want to focus on is what we as the association did. And we did two things. First of all, we provided a grant through our cooperative agreement funding from the Centers for Disease Control to the St. Louis University School of Public Health to work with the capstone class of graduate students to see what roadmap action items they could get implemented in the state of Missouri. And then we provided five grants to five chapters of our chapters around the country to again go all out, throw all the spaghetti against the wall and see what stuck. I am not, in the interest of time, going to go through each of those six states and mention all of the things that have happened over the past year, but I do want to highlight a few things that did happen, and then building to lessons that we've learned that are going to be useful going forward in the implementation of the roadmap. So I'll start with the state of Oregon, and the roadmap action item there I want to focus on is roadmap action item PO2, which is integrating cognitive health and impairment into state and local government plans. In the state of Oregon, they do not have a centralized emergency response plan. What they have is a state-level all-hazards coordinator, and then they have county-level emergency response plans. So what our chapter did is sat down with the all-hazards coordinator to learn and understand what exactly her role was and what she did. Then after understanding that, they talked to her about the importance of emergency preparedness planning for people with dementia, that you, if you're going to prepare for an emergency, whether it be a hurricane or an earthquake or any other emergency, having a plan to deal with people with a cognitive impairment is important in addition to the other aspects of your emergency preparedness plan. And so the All Hazards Coordinator, which although there is not a statewide emergency response plan, does prepare a toolkit for the county emergency response teams. And they are now adding an annex to that toolkit on emergency preparedness and planning for people with cognitive impairment. Talk about Minnesota. One of the roadmap action items was EO1, to identify and promote culturally appropriate strategies to increase public awareness about dementia, to reduce conflicting messages, decrease stigma, and promote early diagnosis. In Minnesota, they began last December with a large planning meeting in which they brought various community organizations to the table as well as various agencies within the State Department of Public Health. And it was really a planning meeting to review the roadmap and identify gaps that they had in Minnesota. And the big gap that they identified was culturally appropriate educational materials and information about dementia for the African American community and for the Latino community in Minnesota. And so they then spent from December through May working with various agencies in the state government, as well as other outside organizations. Volunteers of America was a big player in this action in Minnesota, of developing those materials. And the big payoff was that as a result of the attention and increased work that they were doing and the product that they were developing, is the Minnesota legislature decided to provide funding for actual distribution of this material that had been developed. Finally, let me mention Georgia, highlighting Roadmap Action Item W06, which is to educate healthcare providers about cognitive assessment tools that could be administered in various healthcare settings. Georgia has a traditional, older public health system where they actually have healthcare providers as employees of the Department of Public Health. They are involved and working with the Georgia Composite Medical Board, the Medical Association of Georgia, the Emory University Alzheimer's Disease Research Center, have developed a telemedicine webinar with CME credit that will be offered next month on educating the healthcare providers of the public health department about assessment tools and detecting possible cognitive problems. I am going to, in the interest of time, very quickly say the association also entered a partnership with Eli Lilly, the pharmaceutical company, to do community conversations around the country. This is a structured process of three, a series of three structured meetings that brings various people in the community together, including public health departments, physicians groups, and other organizations, to develop a plan of action and an activity that they can work on in their community to address this issue. Eli Lilly agreed as part of their community conversations on Alzheimer's disease to use the roadmap as a foundational document. And there you can see the ones, the solid ones are the five that have been completed. The five stars that are not filled in are the five places where they are ongoing or about ready to start. And the three pluses are ones that are in the planning stages at this point. And I will skip that and move to lessons learned. So what lessons have we learned that we can take beyond as we continue to implement and as we expand beyond this narrow focus or narrow scope, rather, broad focus, narrow scope? What can we learn for other chapters? What can other public health people learn for implementing action items in the roadmap? First of all, laying the groundwork is extremely important. My aim at the beginning of this process a year ago was I wanted to see a ton of action items implemented in a handful of states so we'd have a clearinghouse of things that we could take to other states. I was using my policy background and applying it in a context that was not working because public health wasn't there yet. Public health officials largely, with a few exceptions, but largely public health officials weren't there yet in terms of understanding and viewing Alzheimer's disease and cognitive health in a public health context and as a public health issue. So laying the groundwork has been very, very important. And so there are fewer roadmap action items that have been implemented than I had hoped a year ago. But I think there's a lot more interest and buy-in to the concept of Alzheimer's disease as a public health issue. Cultivating relationships is extremely important. Oregon and Minnesota are two really good examples of cultivating relationships and finding a champion within the public health department. However, also a lesson learned is that that is very individual dependent. And we've seen a couple of states that have actually had to back up and almost start over because the individual champion that they had cultivated and that really believed in this and was really ready to implement action items left. And they had to start over, and it's an indication that Alzheimer's has not yet been internalized. Cognitive health issues have not yet been internalized among public health officials as an issue, that it's not, unless you're there laying the groundwork, it's not going to come to them naturally yet. And finally, as much as possible, if you can integrate roadmap action items into other work that public health officials are doing, existing work, you are more likely to be successful. In Georgia and Maine, they have been very, very successful because they've been able to take roadmap action items and integrate them with state plan implementation, state Alzheimer's disease plan implementation efforts that were already going on. And so by in Wisconsin, for example, they're now working on integrating messages on dementia and the risk of tobacco and for dementia. They're integrating that into the existing anti-smoking and anti-tobacco efforts. So as much as possible, we're more likely to be successful if you can find a roadmap action item that works with something that is already happening. Thank you very much.